Well, for our scripture reading and message this morning, we have a special guest, Chuck Ashy, and I had to look up. I knew he was a pastor here, and I had to look up and see when he was here, and he was here in 1975, and all I could think of was disco. That's all I could think of. But Chuck, come on up and minister to us today. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Well, greetings and blessings to each and every one of you in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. I had a shock walking in here. I came in the back way. Probably been 40-some years since I've really been here. I came in looking for a bulletin, and lo and behold, I saw Leonard Weems was singing this morning. Now, I got to tell you, this is some kind of church because I did his funeral. I told Pat, I said, look what we've been missing for 40 years. I don't know who came up with that idea. Fantastic idea. Denny just lived over here, and there used to be a house there called the Parsonage, and I had a lot of conversations with Denny, and of course with Leonard. Every Monday morning, I'd go down and talk to Leonard, what's going on, and we'd talk. Listen to them at funerals often, other occasions, and I'll tell you what, those two men had a wonderful resonance together. And then Arlene, her husband, was the first funeral I ever did in my life. And that goes back a long time. As we have journeyed and traveled together and separately. This morning, I would like to just say that about 46 years ago, I came in through those doors. I came up here, looked a lot different. Stuff was this way and stuff was that way, and the organ was back there. It looked a lot different, but I came and I stood behind your pulpit, and I walked in only with two things: myself and the book. 46 years later, I've walked in your church again. I'm behind your pulpit, just me and the book. An interesting thing about this book, it's the very same one. Very same Bible. You see, I walked in here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Freeman community. And I came in with this book, the Bible. It's the very same one. Now, I got to tell you, this baby is well-worn. But then so am I, all right? The gospel message I shared 46 years ago is the same gospel message I share with you today. And I have shared in countless churches among hundreds of people. And so I thought, as I come today, I want to share with you some kind of consistency. So bear with me. It'll make sense as we move through it. I do things a little bit different, as most of you know. Those of you that were born in the 30s, the 40s, or the 50s, I don't have to tell you, you've seen a lot of changes. A lot of changes, haven't you? Yeah. Okay. That'll make sense to you a little bit later on. Those of you that are born in the 30s, 40s, 50s, have you been down to the local grocery store lately? Have you been to Hy-Vee lately? Okay. Well, if you were born in the 30s and you were a gal out there taking care of your family, doing some shopping, here's what you would have paid for a loaf of bread. Now, most of you gals, I think, made your own in those days. But should you need a loaf of bread, you went down to the handy-dandy store nearby, and you paid 9 cents for a loaf of bread. What is it now? $23? What? Two or three. Okay. Well, inflation hasn't hit quite as bad yet. Okay. How about? Let's see here. Postage stamp. 3 cents. Now you could buy a box of cornflakes, and they were real cornflakes, not this whatever they're doing with them now. Okay, you could buy a whole box of cornflakes for 6 cents. Have you walked down the cereal aisle, especially the triple, quadruple sugared stuff? Huh? Not quite the same. And you could buy a can of chicken noodle soup for 7 cents. Pat and I went to Hy-Vee the other day, and I carried two little light bags, and it was $80. If you have lived through those, if you were born in those in that era, and you're here today, you have seen a lot of changes, an awful lot of changes. And right now, we are living in the most accelerated social movement in the history of the United States, maybe the world. Right now, we're living in it. And by God's grace, we're going to live through it. And we all know that. I've heard the word this morning 2-3 times. I mentioned it myself, divisive. We are living in one of the most divisive times of American history. I'll get to that also in just a second. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to share with you this morning is the counseling load, the pastoral counseling load, for me is incredible. I get phone calls. I'm asked to come to all kinds of different homes and places. And you get right down to what the reason for the call is. Divisiveness. Are you, as a born-again believer, are you living every day guarding, keeping the joy that surpasses all human understanding with you? Are you living in peace with yourself each and every day? Are you giving yourself an opportunity? And I know happiness is dependent on this and that and the next thing. But are you, through those things, giving yourself the opportunity to go through the day, come to the end of the day, and feel good and happy inside? See, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'll come back to that in a minute. I learned early on in life, and then as you well know, in whatever work, job, career, whatever you do, you have learned it too. In this world, there are the joy robbers of life. And it doesn't take very long to have them surround you, find your weak spot, and attack you. Now, the joy robbers in life can be categorized into three basic areas. They are people, and then events and circumstances and things, and then things by itself. Things being what you want in life, what you've tried to achieve. You wanted a farm, you wanted 1,000 acres, you wanted to be the CEO, whatever happened, whatever things are so important to you. These can be joy robbers, as you well know. Now, it's like, you're having a good day. Things are going well. You got up and you actually felt good this morning, okay? You're feeling good, you're doing this, and things are going well, and you go down to the local gas station, and you mention the wrong word, the wrong name, the wrong political party, the wrong president, and guess what happens? Bam! Joy robber just hits you. Okay? So how do you walk away from that? Did the joy robber steal your joy? Did it ruin your day? Did it take you all day to get over that? Okay. That's just one thing. Other things come in the form of events and things that come at us in life that we have to deal with. And one of the things I want you to walk away from this morning is armed with the ability to not let the joy robbers steal your joy away. So how do we do that? How do you do that? I'll come back to that. I want to put it in a context that I think most of us will understand. I'm going to use a family illustration of what can be taken from us. And then I want to flip-flop on the other side using the same illustration and say, and the things that can't. Okay? So to do that, what time is it? I can never see that. Why you put that clock there? I never did know. It's way off to the side. I still don't get it. But anyway, see, I'm not here anymore. I can say those things. You know, what difference does it make? Pat's mother, Eldora Ellinger, spent a good strong 8 years just down the street, a place called Oak Terrace here. Wonderful place. I gotta hand it to you guys. You got a great facility there. She was in the dementia side of it, and spent a lot of time there. A joy robber entered her life, and it was called dementia. And the joy robbers are thieves. There's a lot of things in life that can steal from you. And you mentioned some of those, whether it's malaria, whether it's all these different, a lot of different things. But dementia certainly is one of them. Eldora Ellinger had some qualities about her that I know many of you have. And there's so many new faces here that I don't know. But she had some qualities I believe many of you have. Number one, she was a born-again Christian. And by that I mean she accepted Jesus Christ in her heart personally. She was sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That's what I in this book have been telling people for 46 years. But that thief stole from her a woman who, you know, raised six kids, made thousands of meals, lived in a day and age where there was no automatic washer, no automatic dryer. They didn't even have an automatic dishwasher. Just had to do that with six kids, two adults, and a bunch of, you know, farm people putting up sausage and all of that stuff. You remember those days, or at least you were told about them. All right. That thing stole those things from her. And more specifically, here's what was stolen, and it goes into your families. I don't know many families that have not been touched by Alzheimer's disease or dementia, a combination of such in their lives. If it isn't you specifically, it's one of your siblings and their families and so forth and so on. It's a real joy robber. And here's what it did to her. It stole her memory. Okay? She did not know her family. She did not know her kids. You probably had this experience. She knew she should know you. You know? She knew she should know you, but she didn't. That thief stole, that joy robber stole that from her. Joy robbers will do this to you as well. They will steal the joy of life. See, Eldora could no longer enjoy her children. She could no longer enjoy her grandchildren. She could no longer enjoy her great-grandchildren. She could no longer enjoy the things of life that she really enjoyed. She couldn't sew, she couldn't cook, she couldn't garden anymore. And there was a woman who morning, noon, and night prayed, read her Bible, studied her Bible, went to Bible studies, had spent a lifetime storing up things in the heart of her soul, and now she couldn't remember them. You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that? Seen that in others? Okay. And here's the other thing, and it does it to you, and it does it to me, if you let it, and that's the joy robber stole her freedom. That woman went from a beautiful farm, a big ranch-style house, huge kitchen, to Oak Terrace here, to a little room. Nice room. I'm not. Don't go downtown and say I'm bad mouthing. It's a beautiful room, but it's a little room. A little hallway and a little meeting place. If you've been in there, you know what I'm talking about. And that's how she lived for 8 years in a world she didn't understand anymore. Joy robbers do that. People can do that to you. Circumstances and things, which I'm talking about here, and then things, they can all have that same effect in one or more different ways. What are the joy robbers taking from you on a daily basis? What are you allowing the world, and how are you allowing to take your joy away? I tell you what, people are just growling all the time. If you could take the masks off, you wouldn't see any smiles. You're afraid to hold the door open for somebody for fear that they're going to just eat you up. Because after all, you might have put a germy there, and they don't like it. What's happening? Why are we allowing our joy to be stolen? I did that for a woman the other day, and she just kind of growled and looked at me, and I said, "Have a nice day. You're not ruining mine." Okay? Joy robbers. Bible has a whole lot to tell us about joy, and I want to share. I'm a person who likes to share an anchor Bible verse. I don't throw out 20, 30 of them. I probably should, and I'd be a real Baptist, okay? You know, I'm not a real Baptist, I guess, but I have one verse. I want you to, I'm going to read it for you. If you have your Bibles, better yet, jot it down. And I would like you to read it every day this coming week. And here it is. Romans chapter 15, one verse, 13. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I know there are communities, this is one of them, that really emphasizes the love of God, and I'm not doubting that at all, but I'd like to hear more about the God of hope. Actually, if you look through the Bible, the characteristics and the things of God, the word hope comes through over and over and over again. It's actually there. May the God of hope, that's for you, that's for me. The God of hope fill you. And I began talking about joy and peace. Well, this is spiritual joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with that, fill you with the joy, fill you with peace as you trust in him daily. So that what? You may overflow with hope. That is something that is not in really great abundance right now. is joy and peace in people's lives. And so if I would ask you, then what is your hope? See? It's a different way of living. When you can't tell the Christian out there in the community from the non-Christian, then we need to go back and make some adjustments, don't we? Now, I want to take Eldora Ellinger as an example. There were so many things that were stolen from her. Now, I want to share with the other side of the coin, because these are the things that cannot be stolen from you either, that were not stolen from her. First of all, this disease and this 8 years and the anguish that, you know, families go through, you go through, others go through, that disease could not steal her faith. You know that? Could not steal her faith. Mrs. Gertner, you said you're not, I'm going to tell everybody, okay, you're 90, right? Not quite. Okay, keep it quiet. She doesn't want anybody to know. Okay. I know you, and you have spent years and years and years and years in church, singing the hymns and hearing the Word of God and the Bible. You have all of these things. You have a faith. I had your daughter in my Menno church. You have faith. No matter what joy robber you're going to bump up against, or any of us here, that cannot be taken from you. That cannot be taken from you. Life and disease could not steal, and this is kind of two, you know, goes together like this, from Eldora, her faith, her relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is something I really want you to latch on to. You know, I came as a Baptist. I've been a Baptist. I'm here today as a Baptist. And I'm telling you that the Bible says that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And there is nothing in this world, on this world, out of this world, that can break that seal. Do you know how comforting that can be for your life? Do you know how comforting that can be when a joy robber comes along and takes your memory or takes some part of life away from you? You can go back and you can think and you can say, yeah, but this book says, I'm sealed with the Holy, with Jesus by the Holy Spirit onto the day of redemption. In her 8 years there, one of the things that could not be taken away from her was her place in the loving arms of Jesus. And it can't be taken from you either. Be joyful. Have peace. Live happy. And here's another thing, Chris. I know this community is big into music. You know what? You know one of the things that cannot generally be taken from people, and wasn't taken from Pat's mother? Hymns. Yeah, I know the choruses, and I know the whole thing. You know, 15 years ago, churches were divided, and you couldn't do this. And I know, I've been through every war there's been, whether it's the speaking in tongues war, whether it's been that music wars or whatever. I've been through them all. But there's got to be something when you get to be our age that you have tucked away into that mind and heart, music. There is something very vital that God has blessed in music therapy. So those of you who have come for years and years and years, I think, Laverne, you used to be up here instructing and leading and stuff like that, all the hymns and stuff, all those things that you say. How many times have you sung the old Rugged Cross? God be with you. Amazing grace. Okay. For me, probably several thousand, okay. It was amazing to watch Pat's mother. She didn't know who we were, really. We'd go visit, we'd do our thing. But quite often, we would wheel her out in our wheelchair out to kind of that open meeting area where there's a piano there. Pat's quite a pianist herself. She would play hymns. And the minute she would start, a lethargic woman who didn't know probably what planet she was on would brighten up. And about halfway through that hymn, you could see her doing this. You had competition, Laverne. She was leading the choir. There wasn't any there, but she was working on it. Okay, see? That's a blessing for a family to look on when so many things have been stolen from her out of life, that she could enjoy that music, those hymns. There are things that the world can take, but there are things that God so ordained that will not ever be able to be stolen from you. So those of you guys who just sit week by week and just kind of me, instead of singing, don't you get tired of that? They just sit there. Yeah. Especially you guys, come on, you know? Sing. I just disgusts me when I go to churches and let's sing, you know? And come on. Get out there, sing. Put that in your heart. Put it right here, because someday you're going to be so godly thankful that you did. Some things cannot be stolen from us. And here's the other thing that could not be taken from her. And that is her mansion in glory. Oh, yes. John 14:2 is still there. It hasn't been removed. It hasn't been, it has been changed in some Bible. I get so disgusted with some of these new Bible versions. You see, I got a mansion waiting for me in glory. This book, I can show you in the book. It says so. But some of these other translations, I was reading through one of those one day, and here it said rooms. And I said, whoa. Somebody stole my mansion and replaced it with a room. You know, I know the study, I really do, but the thing that can't be taken from you is your place in glory. The thing that can't be taken from you is the mansion being prepared for you. The thing that cannot be taken from you is a signpost in glory that has your name there. You're not there yet, but it's there waiting. Things could be taken from Eldora. A lot of things were. But that wasn't one of them. I'll get back to that in just a second here. I was here in 1975. And a number of you people opened your hearts and your lives to us. It was a interesting time in my life. We spent a lot of time in homes. I can look here and Betty Stahl, some good meals at your home. We had a lot of meals all over with people. One of the families that opened their hearts and lives, and we had a lot to do with them, was a family named Orville and Lorene Wipf. Anybody know them? They weren't from Scotland. Okay, so you can raise your hand. They were from Freeman. Yes. Okay. Coast to coast store, the Whips. All right. Okay. we were there quite frequently. Joan Marie was still around. Marilyn was there, and Cheryl. Marilyn was just fun. She just giggled all the time. She was a hoot. Just loved that little girl. One day, we were there for noon, Sunday noon, and the meal was over, and they were starting moving the plates, and Lorene tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, come here, I want to show you something. So I went with her into their living room. You know, by the way, do you remember when the organ was over here, any of you? Huh? You know who the keeper of the organ was? Lorene? Yeah. She even had a key. She locked it up. Did you know that? Yeah. I came to do a wedding rehearsal one night, and I had to get a hatchet and smash it. I mean, what else could I do? You know. So, interesting stories about Lorraine and her organ. But we went into that room, and she went over, and she sat down at the piano, and she did this. She asked me, she said, "Do you know what that is?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. Middle C." And she said, "It sure is." She said, "It reminds me every day," because I give lessons just about every day, "it reminds me of the middle C of life, Jesus Christ." And she said, "Chuck, do you know that everyone starts out the same way to learn how to play the piano? The first thing you have to do is find middle C. And everything else comes from middle C." She said the first piano ever made had a middle C. "My piano has a middle C." And she said, "Should this piano survive another 100 years and somebody comes and sits down at it, and bang, middle C." Now, there's a Bible passage that is very, very dear to your life, to your hearts, and to mine. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. What does it say? Our God in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God the Son, our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thousands of years ago, he was the same. Today, this book tells us you can trust him. He is the same. He hasn't changed, and he will not change in the future. I maintain the only way to critically keep the joy robbers of life away from you is only after you have found middle C and made middle C the Christ, the Lord of your life. Now, should you have done that, should you be in that position, I'm going to tell you, there are things the joy robbers will never, never take from you. And thank God for it. And so as you... did you say another half hour? Oh, okay. Okay. So as you leave today, I know that there are joy robbers out there waiting for an opportunity. For you, I don't know what they'll be. But I hope part of what you have heard today will encourage you. Do not let people, events, or things take your daily, and I'm not talking about eternal joy, I'm talking about daily living, joy or peace away from you. We have families like never before now divided. It's either Biden or Trump. It's either Republicans or Democrats. It's either did you get your shots or you didn't get your shots. Are you going to get your shots? Are you? And I can name 10 other things that is dividing and divisive. And it hurts our hearts. It makes us cry. Unless we can follow that up with joy and peace. Let's pray. Father God, you are the God of hope. Your word tells us that you will fill us with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, for me, for each one of us here who struggle daily just to walk with you by faith, help us that we might be living daily in joy, peace, peace in our soul and spirit and life. And then, Lord, at the end of the day, thank you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Sheila, go ahead.